You know, it's a bad idea when it kills the inventor. Ruth?
This morning, we're talking about Karl Suchek. He was a stuntman from Canada, and he was known for going into a barrel and doing crazy stunts, most notably in 1984. He made his own barrel. He called it a homemade capsule, and it was modified so that it was lightweight, metal, and plastic, and had counterweight on it to ensure a feet-first landing. So he was successfully went over Niagara Falls in 1984 with his capsule. He had some bruises, but basically the barrel worked. So for his next stunt, he decided he was going to amp it up a little bit and drop 180 feet from the top of the Houston Astrodome into a 9-foot deep and 12-foot wide little pool in front of 35,000 people.
AJ, this is that Daffy Duck jumping into a glass of water.
Bugs Bunny with, what's his name? Elmer Fudd. He will jump into this tumble of water. I remember that, yes.
Who jumped into the glass of water? I thought it was Daffy Duck.
No, it was Elmer Fudd.
Okay. Wow. How did that go for him?
Well, we're talking about him this morning and that idea I learned about inventors that died from their inventions.
I mean, that one doesn't even exist in reality. Like, he created that scenario for himself.
Yeah, just killing himself.
I mean, you know it's bad when Evel Knievel says, hey, dude, this is probably not the best idea.
Really?
Which is exactly what happened.
Evel Knievel
was there in attendance. And I do have a news report from 1985.
This is before he died? Or it's the news report of his death?
Correct.
News report of his death?
Yes.
Okay.
Daredevil Karl Suchek's stunt was to plummet from the top of Houston's Astrodome 180 feet into a 12-foot by 9-foot water tank. The small wooden barrel, similar to the one Suchek used last summer when he went over Niagara Falls, struck the rim of the tank. The Canadian daredevil was unconscious when rescuers opened the barrel. Paramedics began working on Suchek immediately.
It didn't even clear it.
Mm-mm.
It hit. Oh, jeez.
So barrel,
like cracking an egg on a firing pan.
It didn't stabilize. It started to spin and it went off track, and then it hit right on the edge of the pool. It smashed his abdomen, and not good.
Yeah, he was the yolk and the egg.
Need a bigger pool.
There's no wings in there, right? He can't like steer at all. You're just falling.
What year was that?
1985.
You would think by then.
They would have some like, hey man, like we got to put some safety on this.
We'd put people on the moon by then. They had the technology.
He's like, nah, launch me off the side of this building.
Or just make the pool wider.
Right.
What difference does it make?
Pool.
He almost, you know, and that's it wasn't like he missed it by 10 feet. Like he just was on the rim.
Inches.
Yeah.
The original rim shot, yes.
Okay.
Dude.
He was rushed to Houston's Bentaub Hospital with massive head and neck injuries. The 37-year-old died within an hour. Fellow stuntman Evel Knievel, who had warned Suchek just moments before the fall not to attempt the stunt, stood vigil at Bentaub Hospital waiting to hear good news of his friend's condition. There was none.
Being a daredevil, you have a lot of people praying before you do what you do, and he probably said a prayer himself, and he had a choice when it came to what he was going to do with his life, and I'm very sad about it. He was a personal friend of mine.
Patrons attending the annual Thrill Show and Destruction Derby were not told of Suchek's death during the show.
Oh, sure, yeah, sure. He did put his own life on the line. I wouldn't do it myself. But I'd pay $10 to look at somebody else do it.
That's the most honest person.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it, but I'd pay $10 to see someone else do it.
Yep.
Oh.
Damn.
Who was dumber, this guy? This guy was dumber, but also in this circle of dumbness should be the Houston Astrodome for saying, yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give it the green light.
Also, it didn't seem like anyone knew the drop was going to happen when it happened. I was just watching video footage. They're all just standing around.
Oh, really?
Like, they're just on the field, and then it hits the water, and everyone's like, oh, and they start running towards the tank.
No way. They didn't even get it like a 3-2-1 go, you know? It's just like, I'm going.
Maybe that's why it missed. You know, someone actually hit the button by accident.
Yeah, it wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. They didn't do the big countdown.
Right.
Oh, every part of this story is bad.
Rest in peace.
Is Hurricane Melissa the worst storm ever recorded? Let's ask Scott. Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. This storm is just unbelievable.
Is this the worst one?
It's the fifth hurricane of the season, the fourth major hurricane, and the third Category 5 of 2025. That's a lot. We still have until November 30th to go before hurricane season wraps up. So a little bit more time. We got about another month to go. But right now, you know, it started as a tropical wave, and it is the strongest tropical cyclone yet this year. So it's the strongest storm this year, and it actually tied with a storm back in 1935 on Labor Day, a Labor Day hurricane. It is the third most intense Atlantic hurricane on record in terms of lowest barometric pressure, which was like in the top eight. It was like in the high 800s, which is just remarkable.
That's pretty wild, considering all the hurricanes.
The barometric pressure is 960 this morning. If you think about it, I mean, it's a lot of people don't get the barometric pressure. Normal for us is about 1015. So 960 is really low. And 895 is really low.
And so, what does that mean?
It just means, you know, an area of low pressure, you've got millibars, and as the millibars come down, the storm is getting more intense, is basically what it means.
Oh.
So, and you know, it's only a difference between 100 millibars. That's from great to worse. So there's not a huge fluctuation in that scale. But when you get millibars in the 800, like 895, that means it's a Category 5 with winds at about 185 miles an hour.
That's insane.
Which is what it's insane. Could you imagine? Like, think about driving 185 miles an hour and the wind keeping up with you.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
I mean, we get 40 or 50 mile an hour winds around here, and it's like,
right,
what is going on?
Right, and it causes isolated power outages.
Right.
Right, like we start talking about power outages and 40 to 50 mile an hour gusts, but you're talking about 185 miles sustained. That's not the gusts.
Yeah,
that's sustained. Just like a constant wind of 185 miles an hour.
How much rain?
They got a year's worth of rain in one day, in about 12 hours.
Is that what happened? That's basically what happened in Oxford, right? That was a year's worth of rain in like a day?
What did they get, 16 inches?
Yeah.
I don't think it was it wasn't a year's worth of rain, but it was a pretty good amount, like a couple of months worth of rain.
Okay.
But just really, really intense storm system. I mean, we're waking up to see some of the images coming out of Jamaica this morning. Not good. Not good. And now Cuba, it rolled into Cuba about 3 o'clock this morning as a Category 3, which, oh my God, it sounds so much better. I mean, a Category 3 hurricane, if a Category 3 hurricane came to Connecticut like it did when Gloria was a 3 to a 4 back in 1985, I mean, that's devastating.
That's a good point, because as I was watching the coverage, and it was Category 5, Category 5, Category 5, Category 4, and then when it got to Category 3, I'm like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, we're safe.
No, it's not fine. It's still very dangerous.
No. Like, you know, we've never had a 5 here in Connecticut. Thank God.
What's the worst one we had?
Gloria was Gloria? Back in, it was.
What was Sandy?
Sandy was never a hurricane. It was a tropical storm.
We called it a superstorm. Superstorm.
Right. So, that wasn't even a hurricane. Look at how much damage that did.
Right.
Yeah. Wrecked my roof.
So, Gloria was not a good one.
What year was that?
1985. I remember being in Long Island, and the trees were just going down the front lawn. Like, I was like, what is happening?
We had a hurricane party in Port Jeff.
that's pretty incredible. Well, that's AJ for you.
Yep.
It's 85,
yep.
Man.
Yep.
It's a different time.
Yep.
Hey, this comet that's going to be coming by, this some people are saying it's like a spaceship or something.
I don't know about that. I do apologize.
Huh.
This
Brian?
Atlas 31 thing, you haven't heard about that, Scott?
No.
All right, so it's Atlas 31,
science.
It's an interstellar object that is showing a very odd path. Like, it's changed course a few times. It has a tail on this comet that is made of, I believe it's like pure nickel or something, which is not typically the stream that you see coming off a comet. Some people think it's propulsion. They think it's like it's actually propelling itself. And
people
it's
are saying
just,
it's the mothership coming to make contact with us.
It's the new Oumuamua or whatever the last one was.
Is this the one that's like the size of Manhattan? Is that the one?
Yeah, it's like really big, and it's going to on December 19th. It's going to be the closest that it will get, but it's coming right through. Like it's passing the planets in a way that people. Some people think that it's observing.
Now, does it come with the music? That's what I want to
it
know.
It does.
When the storm
exactly.
goes by.
This is what you'll hear.
This is what you'll hear.
You'll walk
when
outside,
you look up,
you'll
be like,
up.
Whoa.
That's right.
So let's see. Maybe the mothership's coming.
Now, there's, I'm just doing a little research here off the top. It says that some people are saying it's the remnant of alien technology.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes a good amount of sense, too.
Yeah, their space junk.
Of course it does.
You know, whatever.
The rest
yeah.
of the Death Star.
All right, so this is not on your radar, so that's good.
That's good, yeah.
That's a different science.
We see Scott with his jacket off and his sleeves rolled up and tie is loosened, and he's talking about the comet. Then we know that word.
Yeah, exactly. Hair is all over the place, like the ancient aliens guy.
The only comet you'll hear me talking about is the dish detergent cleaning my sink.
Yeah. That stuff is a miracle.
It
I don't
is.
Know.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I don't know what's in there.
I don't know either. It's abrasive, though.
It's great to bathe with.
God in heaven. It's like AJ using lava soap as a facial moisturizer.
It's nice. It's exfoliating.
It is certainly exfoliating, that's for sure.
So Friday we're going to have Brown Roofing on. The owner of Brown Roofing will be coming on, Eddie.
Good.
And
we're going to talk to Eddie.
Yeah,
we're hooked up.
We could tell him all the things we want inside the box.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Scott, thank you.
Hey, ask Brian.
Yes.
Can you do me a favor? Can you ask Brian to see if he's ever had a case of the shingles?
I have not.
Oh, I mean, no, not Brian. The guy from Brown Roofing.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie, sorry.
I've had
now
vinyl
I
siding
get
once.
It. Now I get
vinyl
it.
Siding.
Okay.
Sorry,
we,
the joke got buried with a delivery.
We all looked at Brian. We're like, what
shingles.
Happened to
yeah.
you?
Get out
on?
Of the studio.
Scott knows something I don't.
Right.
Were you
there's
in
a
commercial?
Roofer with a case of the shingles.
Ah, I got it now. That is, now it's funny. Before
now it's funny.
Before I was all confused.
Right. Yeah, we were concerned.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
All right. See you Friday.
All right. Scott Haney, Channel 3.
Freak Week.
We're about to hear an actual demon recorded in Connecticut. Paranormal investigator Barry Pirro on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Morning.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, before we play your ghost audio, I have some ghost audio I'd like you to hear and analyze, please.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. If you listen very closely to this music recording, you're going to hear the sound of a ghost here.
Okay.
Here it comes. Did you hear it?
I did not hear it.
Oh. It's very high pitched.
It's a very high pitched
well,
ghost.
Know, it's just,
it was certainly inhuman sounding. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it probably was there, but I couldn't hear it where I am.
All right. I'll play it back to you in the next break.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Which clip are we starting with?
Which one do you have there? I sent you a bunch. So.
I have a list. Do you have the same list?
I don't have it in front of me, so just tell me the sort of the gist of it.
Brookfield,
Yeah.
Candy.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you about that case before I start.
Please.
Okay? Because this was one of the most intense investigations I really have ever conducted. This young couple got married and moved into a small house together. Right away, weird things started happening. One day they were sitting at the table in the kitchen, and a bottle rose up in the air and then slammed down right in front of them. And then they would start to hear this bell ringing in their ear, like a little ringing of a bell.
They'd both hear it.
They would both hear it. Sometimes they wouldn't even be in the same room. One would be upstairs and one would be downstairs, and it would sound like it was right in their ear. But the craziest thing that happened, the wife was standing at the sink one morning and she felt somebody behind her. She thought it was her husband. And all of a sudden, this man's face ducked around from behind her and looked right in her face. It was like a foot away from her face. And then it quickly ducked back behind her.
Man.
They had all this stuff. Things would be flying around the house. One day they were in the living room. And a cat toy flew down the stairs over the railing into the middle of the living room.
That could be from the cat, though.
Yeah.
No, they had the cats with them.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
You would have to actually go down the steps and throw it over the railing to get to the middle of the living room the way it was.
That's creepy.
Yeah, and they saw this human-like figure in the house. So all this stuff was happening.
Did any one of these two people ever date a dark witch?
No.
Okay, because we had a similar kind of thing yesterday. Someone called in.
I'll never forget that call.
No, me neither.
Oh, my God.
Really? Yeah, that does happen. That does happen.
All right, so then they call you?
So they call me because they really wanted help, and they were really afraid, and I don't blame them. And when I was there, I could feel this thing. And what they're really describing is not a ghost, but more of a demonic entity. And while we were there, I was with two other investigators, and there was a dark figure that one saw walk down the hallway and stand next to one of the other investigators. So stuff was happening while we were there. And I did a clearing, which I use holy water and prayers and different things. And while I was doing the clearing in the basement, that's when I picked up this voice that you're about to play.
Oh, boy. All right. Here we go.
Okay, let's go up. Okay. And
so it was in the background. Here it is highlighted.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. It's just very slight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually,
I would never pick that up.
No.
Like, I would listen to the tapes and be like,
it's my keys.
Nothing.
Yeah, right.
I'm listening really intensely with headphones to see what's there. And actually, two things were picked up in the basement. That one, which it's saying, Papa's Candy.
How do you hear that? You hear that in that clip, Papa's Candy?
Oh, yeah, clearly. And if you listen on, it depends on the speakers you're listening to, but if you listen on computer speakers, it's really clear.
Wow.
I was listening to it the other day again.
Oh, let's hear it again.
All right, so here's the original clip.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on.
I do hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then here's Boosted.
Oh, that's like creepy clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you know what it's saying, because I've really, listened a number of times, and then I'll send it around to different people and say, what are you hearing? And everybody's hearing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Papa's Candy, sort of a pervy voice there.
I was going to say, it's a pervy thing to say.
It's almost like Papa's Candy.
Yeah, like, it's who's your daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's like that type of thing.
Coca-Cola makes some money.
When I first heard it, I thought it was going authenticated.
Oh, really? Oh, let's hear that again.
Yes.
I can hear that. Yeah.
Authenticated.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's really gross, Papa's Candy. It's like you just suggest this.
Come on up and get Papa's Candy.
Get Papa's Candy.
You know you want some.
That's right. What kind of fan says.
Yeah.
What kind of candy would Papa have? Smothers, like
Werther's Original.
Werther's Original, yeah, something old. Yeah,
ribbon candy.
Ribbon candy.
Name, right?
Just those, like, red wrapped strawberry candies that had no name. It's just those.
Yeah, in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Or bit of honey. Grandmother's houses, those ones, yeah.
Bit of honey.
Man. And was that the only thing you got from that investigation?
No, I got, there was another clip I sent you, which was even weirder.
Oh.
Because the second one was saying, watch this.
Yep. We have that clip too.
I sort of misspoke. I was doing the clearing in the basement, and I picked up that Papa's Candy voice when I was heading upstairs. But when I first started and I splashed the holy water,
oh,
this voice says, watch, you know, watch this. I think it says, watch this or watch it.
All right, so here's the full clip of that, and then we'll section it out.
Yeah, you'll hear the water.
I heard it.
And then here it is highlighted. Ooh.
No.
Watch it.
Oh, man. All right, yeah, can you play the whole clip again, and then let's try to highlight the clip of the watch it in this full clip. Go ahead, Phil.
Watch it.
Hold it.
Whoa!
Don't splash with that water.
Wow, did not like the holy water.
No, apparently not. No,
no. It didn't like the holy water. And
you don't hear this while you're doing this, right?
I don't.
If you did, what would you... Let's just say you're sprinkling the holy water and you hear...
Watch it.
It wouldn't faze me.
Really?
I would say, you watch it. You watch it.
You would? No way! No way.
Even a demon doesn't really have any power to do anything to a human.
Okay, it could pick up a bottle and throw it. It can throw it at your face.
It can move things around. But if you really look at what it's doing things to intimidate and to scare because it's getting its energy from people's fear.
Like it.
So it's trying to do whatever it can.
I don't know.
Yeah, boss like that once.
Barry, I like you a lot, but man, I think if it started throwing things around, you'd be like, hey, let's take a break outside for five.
No.
Really?
If it started chasing you and saying, come and get Papa's candy.
Did you hear what he said? Well, bring it on. Yeah. Bring it on.
Once it mentions Papa's candy, I'm out of there.
There you go. That's the line.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You don't know where he's going to put
come
that candy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're about to hear something... pretty creepy. Barry Pirro, paranormal investigator, is on. And we just played you a couple of clips from an investigation in Brookfield.
Yeah.
Papa's candy. And watch Papa's it. He's candy. Sprinkling holy water, AJ, in the demon or whatever it is says, watch it.
Yeah, Scotch guarded.
I don't know, man. I would have been out of there.
Yep. See ya.
We got a couple more clips here. You want to do, there's one more from Brookfield. You want to do that or you want to move on?
Move on. Let's move on to the Pound Ridge because there's so much to talk about that one.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. That was one of the most haunted houses I've ever investigated. It was built in 1830. It was a farmhouse. And it was actually the site of the Pound Ridge Massacre in 1644, where an entire village of Native Americans were slaughtered during, one of the wars at that time. It was the biggest, more casualties were suffered in this attack than any other incident in the entire war. So this entire, all the land even is haunted. They've seen Native Americans on the land. But in the house, so much stuff happened. One time the woman saw a man standing there. She thought it was her husband. This figure walked upstairs. Her husband turned out to be not even in the house. But the craziest thing happened. They have horses because this is a beautiful estate now. They built onto this farmhouse. And the husband went out to feed the horses one night. He came back and he heard a party going on in the house, even though there's just two of them living there. And he goes, he hears people talking and laughing and kids running around. And he opens the front door and everything stops. And he looks over into the dining room and all the chairs are pulled out from the dining room table. They're scattered all over the room.
Ooh.
Like people were in there. And again, there's only two people that live in this house.
Yikes. Yeah. Either very strong mice.
Or musical chairs. Musical chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the clip that you're about to play, she was she would have dreams about these ghosts that are in the house, and there were a lot of different ones, and one was a child. And as she's telling about this dream that she had about this ghost child, you hear this crying really loud in the background.
All right, here we go.
Like, really angrily, mm-hmm. and he started crying. He was like, that's me. That's-
oh, damn. And you didn't hear that?
No.
Wow.
That's the thing. I listened back to the recording. I'm like, oh, my, this is so loud. I don't know how I couldn't have been in the room. And nobody, you know, as you listen to it, nobody's reacting to any sound going on. It's just the recorder picked it up.
He was like, that's me. That's...
Nah.
Oh.
Nah.
Wow. How did they do that?
You know, do spirits do that?
How do they put it on a recording and you can't hear it?
Well, spirits are like electromagnetic energy. It's a certain type of energy, and it can imprint itself on electronics. It also affects electronics. Like, my batteries will drain on my equipment all the time when I'm out.
We have a case of that coming up on Friday. That's very scary that Ruth was on.
I think my phone is haunted.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
So you take this tape, you bring it back to these people, and you play it for them, right?
Yeah.
And what was their reaction? Were they like packing their stuff as you were playing?
Sell the house.
Yeah.
No, because you have to realize, though, that they called me because so much stuff has gone on in that house. Like, they would hear a sound in the bathroom, and they would go in there, and all the husband's stuff, like his razor and his hair stuff, would all be thrown into the bathtub. Like,
whoa.
Into the bathtub.
Well, they saw the chairs move. Yeah, so they've been seeing stuff. But, man, that baby crying in the background, that's enough for me to say, you know what, I love this place, but we could find another one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or were you able to, like, so, all right, okay, so you're able to go, and then you confirm, like, all right, this stuff that's happening, there's something mm-hmm. to it. What's the next step after that?
My next step is always to try to do a clearing, which is moving the spirits on and saying, okay, it's time for you to go. You don't belong here.
Does that work?
It's not. It usually works. It's like 90% of the time it works.
Because we used to hang out at the front of Somo's, and Phil would come out every day, Phyllis, and she would say, get out of here. We would leave, but we would come back. And I have a feeling spirits are the same thing.
No, it usually works, but it doesn't always work. And in this case, because there were so many different spirits, I couldn't, like, you're trying to get a crowd to go back. And some of them don't want to leave. Some of them want to stay. Some of them just refuse. And some of them don't get the message, and they don't leave. They just stick around. So there were many left. Even after I did the clearing, there was still a lot left. It did calm down quite a bit.
Are the people still there?
Yeah, they're still in the house.
They still live there.
Wow.
And have you checked in on them? Are they still hearing stuff?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They still do. Not too long ago, the wife heard a sound in the room outside of their bedroom. It's a really big house. And she went out, and there was a table, and I don't know why this happened, but it got totally smashed. She went out there, this little table was totally smashed. All the legs were off of it.
These sound like not great ghosts.
Yeah.
They sound like pretty pissed off.
In your experience,
the teenagers of ghosts.
It's 4 minutes of the, 5 minutes of the hour, so we've got to wrap this up.
All right,
let's play one more clip here.
Okay.
This is from the same place, right?
This is probably from Marlboro Tavern.
Okay, and then let's not play it. We're going to save it. We'll have you back either tomorrow or Friday. Is that okay? Are you available?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right, we're creeped out. Like, I haven't, my creepy level's full right now.
Yeah. I want
to
leave.
It should be around 10.
Chas keeps looking behind him. He's
creepy level 10. I'm creeped out. Yeah.
Creepy. Play that baby crying again.
No.
Oh, my God.
Good. Thank you.
He was like that.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Yeah, that's me at payday.
Paranormal investigator Barry Pirro, thank you.